Okay. As I sat in, doing so much sitting and waiting, I've had a lot of time to think and to contemplate and to ponder and all these different things. And again, we know, I'll just ask you a question. I ask myself this question. Folks, does God make mistakes? No, he doesn't. Okay? And there are some of you out here right now. You guys are fighting your own battles. Some of them worse than what we're going through. And we can all kind of be in this thing together. Ask yourself, does God make mistakes? No, he doesn't. Whatever your situation is, you know, it's completely different, but it's your situation. And you're struggling with issues and battles in your own mind and things. And to realize God doesn't make mistakes. His ways are perfect. And there's some time, it's hard to wrap your brain around that. And a lot of times we might say, God, why? You know, why me? These questions come up. And yet we're trying, a lot of times we might disagree. We don't like what God's doing. God, I don't like the way you're handling this. Okay? Stop and realize for a moment that when we say things like that, we are actually questioning the one who spoke this entire universe into existence. That's his wisdom. God's ways are perfect. He is right all the time. And again, I've said many times up here in the book of James, it's amazing how the book of James ties in with Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to them who are called, okay, according to his purpose. That verse ends according to his purpose. It is God's purpose that each one of us is in the situation that we're in right now. God has ordained it. He could have stopped it. He has chosen not to. It's a path we are to go down. And put your own situation and try to think down these lines. And it's, I think, a pastor. Look at what all he's going through. He's going through it right now. And anyway, and lots of you, okay? Just to realize there's times, there could be people in here that can say, Jim, you keep saying that we need to thank God for this trial. And Jim, to be honest, I just can't do that. Okay? And folks, that's understandable. We're human. Okay? But if you can't thank him for it, that's a command from God. It's the word of God. We're to thank him. Okay? And we're to trust him. We don't have to understand it. He does. That's all we need to know. And but if you can't thank him for it, ask God to help you be able to do that. And you say, Jim, I can maybe say the words, but I don't mean it way down deep in my heart. I know a lady right now that has had, it's a couple. They've had a tragedy in their family. And they were godly people. They were godly people, okay? They taught in a youth group. And godly people. And a tragedy has helped. And she has turned her back on God. And they have left, and they're really struggling. But they're saying, why, you know, how can God do this? I guess that's what they're saying. We're not that close to them right now. In fact, we just saw them about 2 weeks ago. And anyway. And folks, these trials, again, we can either win, you know, from James. James talks about the perseverance, the endurance, all this other type of thing, you know, that we will benefit from the trial. But we might fail the trial. We may get mad, but folks, the Christian life is a growing process. Ask God, if you're in that situation, ask God, you know, to help you to be able to thank him for it and to understand and realize that his ways are right 100% of the time. So, I guess that's all. I took more time than I wanted to. We're supposed to be in the book of Romans. Does anybody have any questions? Before we go into Romans, anybody have any questions or comments they'd like to make before we move on? I get my chance to speak, but you guys don't. Pastor?
When does Nancy's radiation treatments start?
We don't know. We go tomorrow to talk to a radiologist. And I think they said they will probably start, I think he said within the month. I'm thinking, man, you're waiting a month. Let's start it right now. But I think we will know more tomorrow. No, we can do it in Hutchinson. Yeah, the doctor said, and we asked about that, and the doctor said, you have got a facility in Hutchinson that can deal with, with your situation, and you can do it here. Yeah, and in fact, the doctor personally that was Nancy's other chemo doctor, Dr. Estefan is the one that he had. He knows him personally, and he says he would be an excellent doctor to, you might contact him and see if he'd take your case. He said, I'd highly recommend him. You don't need to come over. You don't have to come to Wichita every single day. I thought, wow, But I was prepared to drive to Wichita 5 days a week for 6 weeks. And then after that, then we'll stand back and see what happens. I am glad it's in God's hands, okay? But it has been a unique experience for me. I have learned that a woman's job is never finished, because I'm starting to take over some of the ladies' roles, and I am very unfit for that. Anybody else? Okay, let's turn to the book of Romans. And we have been completely overwhelmed by the support from this church and from multitude of other churches in the area that know us, and a lot that don't know us. Nancy's getting cards of people she don't even know. Somebody that she says, I know this person who you know, and they've told me about you, and just writing you this card saying I'm praying for you. And anyway, it's been, thank you, thank you, thank you. I have never been a card person. That's not on my radar screen. But I tell you what, I have learned how to appreciate cards when you're on the receiving end. And anyway, thank you very much for your support. We're just completely overwhelmed by it. Nancy says hi. Okay. I got to look back and see what. Hang on just a second here, folks. I got to see what verses we're supposed to read here. I prepared this a couple days ago, folks, the rest of this chapter is actually a follow-up on Romans 8:28. For the rest, there's a lot of other material behind that, but it's all based on this thing, all things work together for good to the Christian, okay? And according to God's purpose. So let's go ahead and we're looking at verse. I'm okay. Yeah. I get a little rattled at times. All right, let's just go ahead and start at verse 28, and let's go through verse 30, 28 through 30. And who'd read those for us, please? Delbert?
And that's chapter 8, verse 28.
Yes, Romans 8, 28.
Yes.
Okay, thank you, Delbert. And by the way, I appreciated Michael filling in last Sunday. We had a wonderful time with them. Anyway, Michael wasn't here last Sunday night because it was the only chance he had to go see. Well, he wanted to go. He didn't get to see all of Tim's kids because part of them were in Nebraska when they were back here. And they went and visited Tim, his only chance to see his brother and their family and stuff. And so that's why he wasn't here Sunday night, or he would have been here. All right. Okay. We had looked, we just finished up, or got started, I guess, last time, and we looked at the verse that says, pardon my mind, my mind is shattered here. Well, nuts. Matthew 22:14. Okay, for many are called, but few are chosen. And we had talked about that last Sunday. And I'm going to kind of two Sundays ago, I'm going to kind of pick up there. And that verse has always puzzled me. And I kept thinking, that verse is saying that some can be called, but they're not chosen. For many are called, and as we've been looking at the word called, it means God has called them to salvation. And it was very confusing, all right? And we went through the parable about the wedding feast, and the guys, the king or whoever, king I think it was, is sending the people out, bid guests to come to the wedding. The wedding is prepared, and we want guests for the wedding. And they go out for the first bunch. The first bunch say, no, we're not coming. We're too busy. We're not going to come. So the king sends them out a second time, bid others to come. And they all give excuses, and they don't come. And finally, the king says, go to the highways, the byways, just get anybody. Bid them to come to the wedding. We want to have a full house for the wedding. And so they come. And then at the end of that, it says, but many are called, but few are chosen. And I thought, now, okay, we talked about this. So in that Matthew 22:14, that many are called, but few are chosen, that is a part of the parable. It's talking about all the people are called, but few are coming. All right? This tells us about a call for people to come to the Lord. It's actually speaking about salvation. Okay? The call of Matthew 22:14 is an external call. And it's clear from the parable before it if you study it. And we can see people are called, but they don't come. They're called, they don't come. Excuses. Okay? Many people are under the hearing of the gospel. But when you move from the gospel record to the epistles, and you see the word called, it is never used in the epistles to apply again to an external call. In the epistles, it is always referring to an internal call, when God has actually called you to salvation. The external call is that you can be sitting in a church service, the preacher can be preaching a salvation message, at the end he gives an invitation. That is a call to come. But that is an external call, an outward call. It is not an inward call. And so, like in Matthew here, that is an external call. You know, call on people to come, okay? But people can reject. They cannot come. They decide not to come. And people can reject the gospel. They don't. I heard the gospel several thousand times, and I didn't come. You know, finally I did. Thank you, Lord. But so that's an external call. But in like here in Romans and stuff, that is an internal call. It's talking about. Excuse me. Okay, so people are called. They can be called by reading God's word. They can be called by a message. Okay? But the word of God has got to be applied for anyone to come to Christ. One way or the other. You've got to hear. But when you move from the gospel record in the epistles and you see the word called, it is never used in the epistles to apply again to an external call. It always applies to an internal call. And folks, that explains that verse that says, many are called, but few are chosen. Because I used to ask myself, I didn't understand it till I studied this book of Romans, you know. And I still have a lot of unanswered questions, but that was one of them that got answered. Now, I can see an external call and an internal call. The external call is simply someone sitting and hearing the gospel, hearing an invitation to come to Christ. The internal call is God moving in that heart and choosing that person, turning their heart around and redeeming them. It says, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And so, and we see that predestination. Predestination only refers to saved people. People are not predestined to go to hell. And I've got approval from pastor. I'm planning on showing 2 weeks from today, up on the wall. We're going to listen to a sermon by Pastor Tim Adrian. And I had a couple ladies in this church that had directed me to this. And he has answered the question, does God predestine people to go to hell? In other words, he chooses some and he predestines them to go to the others to go to hell. Does God do that? The answer is no. And I can't explain it very good. This sermon is excellent on the topic. And don't miss it. It's good. And I've talked to Jeffrey, and we're planning on doing that. Not next Sunday, but the Sunday after, because I want to put it in a bulletin. And I'll be sending a bulletin or a thing on that, Pastor. Okay. Okay, and now watch this. It says, and whom he called, them he also justified. Well, folks, if people are justified, they're saved. Okay? And so now we're in the epistles here. We're in Romans here. In Romans here now. Clearly you can see that you're not dealing with an external call. You're dealing with an internal call on this in what we're here in Romans. You're talking about the chosen, the predestined, the elect. And those he called, he justified. And those he justified, he glorified. And so you find the call then in the epistles is an effectual call. And let's just go ahead and turn to Romans. To Romans chapter 9. And let's read verses 11 through 13. I know we haven't got there yet, but we're getting there. Romans 9, 11 through 13. And who'd read that for us? Okay, thank you. Okay, now folks, this all took place before these guys were even born. Okay, they hadn't done anything good or bad. And we can clearly see the election of God here. All right, before the foundation of the world. They weren't even born yet, but he's telling the pregnant lady, Rachel, Rebecca, I can't keep them all straight. Anyway, but he says, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. And we're coming to that, and we're going to have quite a discussion on that. And again, the word hate here is not the kind of hate that we think of humanly, okay? It is in relation to the other. Jesus at one time says, except you hate your father and your mother, you're not worthy to be my disciple. Well, he doesn't mean to hate him. It's a different meaning. But anyway, we can see here God is clearly, sovereignly elected and chosen because these guys had done no good or no bad. They weren't even born. So it's just kind of an interesting thing. And again, we'll discuss this at length in the future. And here we go And here again is the effectual call of God, his divine purpose, his choosing. Again, I will repeat, I believe the Bible clearly teaches both ways. You have choice and you have, and we'll be talking more about that in the future. God's sovereignty and election and the free will choice of man. They are both in the Bible. I can't explain it. I don't understand it, but it's there. It's both sides of the Word of God. Those on opposing views can both go to the Bible and find many verses to support their case. And there's people that are standing on both sides staunchly and unbending toward the other. Well, I think both are taught. But here are many verses that support the other side, man's choice. And again, up to this point in Romans, this thing is strictly, if you just read what we've studied so far in Romans, you'd have to come out being a full-blown Calvinist, you know, because it is all about God's sovereignty and election. And it's later on that eventually it does get around to where you need to have faith. But up to this point, it teaches Calvinism 100% of the way. So there's other verses, and I'm just going to kind of go through this quick. John 1:12, it says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God." It indicates there's a choice. You have a choice to receive. 2 Peter 3:9, it says, "God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." You know, and how do you square that with, it's a done deal. God chose this bunch and he rejected this bunch. These are going to heaven, these are going to hell. Anyway, if salvation is a done deal before the foundation of the world, why does God command us to evangelize the world? Matthew 28:19-20, the Great Commission. There'd be no need for that. If God strictly chose, it's a done deal. I mean, if somebody hasn't been chosen, there's no need to preach the word to them. It's a waste of time. God doesn't waste time. Anybody's time. It'd be a useless waste of time. It'd make no sense. I'm skipping over some of this. I think you get the point. I've got a slug other verses here. We could look up. I was going to look them all up, but for the sake of time, can we kind of understand that there's a choice thing as well? I mean, I could take the rest of the class going through all these verses, and there's just so many. There's one where Jesus says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you know, I'd have gathered you under my wings, you know, as a hen gathers or covers her chickens, but ye would not." You know, Christ is basically with tears saying, "I wish you'd come, but you won't." The Bible teaches a choice, folks. In 2 Corinthians 5:13 through 15, it says he died for all. He didn't just die for the elect, he died for all. All have a choice. They have a chance, okay? Please don't ask me to explain how this can be, but God knows how it can be. He understands it. But we're not going to. And that battle's going to rage for till that trumpet blows. Here is where God's external plan intersects with our lives. In eternity past, he predetermined to have a love relationship with us and therefore predestined our salvation. That's the Bible. The effectual calling is a time when God moves in our life, moves in our heart. That is the effectual call. The moment you were saved. The time you were saved. Okay? The Holy Spirit had been drawing you, had been wooing you, and finally you yielded. You accepted. You believed. You realized that you were lost. You can't earn heaven on your own. You need a Savior. You've got to realize you need a Savior before you can be saved. A lot of people think, "I don't need the Savior. I can get there on my own good works." And we all know about that. And now we come into the here and now. We've been in eternity past, and now we're in the here and now. Believers are the called. Verse 28 says that God is working all things together for them that love Him and them who are the called. There's two definitions of the word called. There is an outward call, which is a call to salvation. Us reading the Word of God, hearing a sermon, you know, or a teacher. I mean, it doesn't have to be. It could be your next door neighbor, all right? Speaking the gospel, telling you the gospel. Many hear a message on salvation, but many do not respond. Guilty as charged, okay, for a long time. Many are called, but few are chosen. There is an inward call, which is a call that leads to actual salvation. Two different calls. This call in verse 30 has a reference to an inward call and not to an outward call. So in verse 30, it says, "Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called." And God predestinates people to go to heaven. And we know that it must be a saving call because whom He called, them He also justified. And only justified people go to heaven. It is not just an invitation to anybody and everybody. It is a call to salvation. Now you might say, "I don't understand that. What about all the Bible verses that talk about the need to evangelize, that man has a choice? Does God call some people to salvation and not to others?" Good question. Adrian Rogers will explain that much better in 2 weeks than I can. No. Whenever the gospel is preached, God is calling people to salvation. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Kind of listen for when the rustle of papers stop. Okay. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and let's read verses 13 and 14. And who'd read those for us? John?
"But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God had from the beginning chosen you to salvation through the sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ."
Okay, thank you, John. In other words, here it's talking about you believe the truth of the gospel, okay? We have got to exercise faith by believing. And that is, believing and faith kind of go hand in hand. Can we resist the call? Turn to Matthew 23:37. Matthew 23:37. And who'd read that for us? Delbert? Okay. So, you ask the question, can you reject the gospel? Yes. Okay. And a brokenhearted Jesus is saying that. I got another reference here. It's Proverbs 1:22-25. We won't take the time to, in fact, our time just about up. But it's talking about, oh, you simple ones, how long you get to remain in your simplicity and, you know, and not respond. When a person falls into hell, a brokenhearted God will say, not my will, but thine be done. They refuse the call. And it makes me shudder just to think back at the number of times I rejected the gospel. You say, well, then you mean that all those people go to hell because God didn't choose them? No. If they go to hell, the Bible says it's because they rejected the gospel. They had a choice. They had a choice. And again, if somebody's at a remote region where the Bible's not taught, if God will find a way to get the gospel message to them. They've got to hear the word of God, and then they are given a choice or a chance to respond. And again, we're getting into God's business here, and just stay away from that. But anyway, God's going to see to it some way. You know, they might get a radio broadcast, they might get a missionary, they might read, they might get the word of God. We read about from the books of the martyrs, of the Christian, the voice of the martyrs, I guess. There's people smuggling Bibles into remote areas, you know, knowing that if they get caught, they're dead, you know, in the areas. They're smuggling Bibles in, they're using motorcycles, you know, to haul it. I mean, they're going down trails that's not fit for a dog to walk down. They're riding in motorcycles for hundreds, you know, well, several miles back into the bush to get the word of God out to these people. Okay. You might say, well, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. Right, exactly right. It doesn't make sense to us. And we're not going to understand it all. Isn't it wonderful to know that God is smarter than we are? I can take, would you want a God who was equal to us? I wouldn't. Our time is up. I've been kind of disoriented this morning, folks. I apologize for that. I can sense it. So anyway, any questions or comments before we close up? Okay, let's close the word of prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, there's a lot of things we don't understand. We're not going to understand. And Lord, there's things we have just got to accept by faith. Lord, you said it. I believe it. And Lord, help us to do that. And just accept by faith the things we can't control. Anyway, Lord, I pray that you'll use these lessons, Lord, to teach us your word. Help us, Lord, to learn and to grow from it. And I pray that you'll be with Pastor this morning as he brings a morning message. Lord, speak through him to us. Lord, help us to understand and Lord, you have a message for each and every one of us individually. We all have individual needs. And Lord, I pray that you'll give us understanding. And Lord, and just as he teaches, and Lord, just use him as your vessel, as your channel, to channel the word through him to us. And just go with us, Lord. Help us to, Lord, just to serve you. And help us to have a stronger and stronger desire to have a closer walk with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.